In the 1970s, we were in great revival. And every Christian was engaged in fervent intercession for souls. If you walked through a village at night, you would hear the weeping and pleading of many Christians on their knees crying out to the Lord. From 1972 to 1974, we organized 3 all-night prayer meetings every week. People were so hungry and desperate for the Lord. We had no teaching of the scriptures because nobody had a Bible. So when we came together, we just sang and prayed. People were so simple-hearted. They would believe the Lord for anything and everything. Messages from the Lord were like honey dripping from heaven. The people were so eager for spiritual truth. This was some words of a church leader, an underground church leader in China from the Fang Chen underground church network that went through incredible persecution through the Cultural Revolution, and in the 70s began to experience great revival. This was a place known as a Jesus nest, this area in Fang Chen, China, a Jesus nest by the Communist Party. They called that. That was one of the Jesus nests in China. When I was reading this morning, I just had an overwhelming sense that we need to pray that our enemy looks at us, looks at this place, looks at this region as a Jesus nest. I want us to look like that. And we can. We can look like that. So I'd like to pray just before Bradley comes up and shares. Brad's going to share a little bit, and we're going to have a prayer time at the end as well. But I just felt like now in this place of worship, just to cry out to the Lord. And if it's on your heart, if you want this to be a Jesus-ness, not necessarily this building or even these grounds, but these people, our people here in this region, let us be known as a Jesus-nest. When we walk through our towns at night, let there be cries and weeping coming out of houses all through the night, weeping before the Lord. Yeah. So, Father, we are honored. We're honored to be here. We're honored to live here. We're honored to be part of your kingdom. God, you've called us, you've chosen us, and you've invited us into your family. And we are so privileged. We are so honored. And so thankful. So thankful, God. You're better to us than we could be to ourselves. And yeah, I just praise you, God, for that. Forgive us, God, when we've taken advantage, when we've held the blessing to ourselves, when we've lived in comfort, not because of your blessing, but because of our own disobedience, our own lack of love for others, and just not listening to you, God, not hearing your voice, not seeking you, not knowing your heart for the lost, not knowing your heart for those immediately around us and for the nations. But God, I pray that we, as a United Zion denomination and here in this region, our brothers and sisters, the rest of the flock here in this area, God, that we would be known in hell as a Jesus nest. This is a place where Jesus is, and these people just keep reproducing. They just keep reproducing, and they're on fire for Jesus. So God, change us. We can only pray, change us. Change our hearts. Humble us. Do whatever it takes, God, to set a fire in us. Let the wind of your Holy Spirit blow. Because God, there is a flame. There's a flame. There's something burning here in our hearts. There's something burning in this region. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to fan it. We ask you to blow on us, to wash over us, to ignite us, to give us power and love, to walk in your ways. This life is too short to just be concerned about ourselves. It's way too short for that, God. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about your heart. It's about what you want accomplished, God. We've given ourselves to you in word. God, I pray that our hearts, that our deeds, that our actions, our attitudes, everything would follow. So God, use this time. Everybody who's gathered here, inside the building, outside the building, God, I pray that we would be changed. Touch our hearts today, God. One touch from you does it all. More than a million sermons, one touch from you, God, changes us. So God, we invite you in this time. We invite you. Use Bradley as he comes to share, God. Empower him. Embolden him. Give him your heart, your thoughts for us in this time. We invite you to come. We give you all the glory, all the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, Father. Yes, God. Good morning, United Zion Church. It was such a beautiful morning with the Lord, a cool morning. This morning, many of you guys were up early. I took a little walk. I was able to see people just enjoying the pleasure of the Lord, enjoying the delight of the Lord, enjoying what the Lord has done in our midst this past week, and what he's going to be continuing to do this morning, and what he will be continuing to do later today as well. I believe the Lord has something to impart this morning, greater depths of his heart this morning, for the lost, for missions, for the nations, for people who do not know him. This is Mission Sunday, and this church and this congregation is heavily involved in missions, heavily involved and committed to the Lord's heart, to see the least and the lost and those who do not know him come into the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And it is such a pleasure, and it warms the Lord's heart, and he's delighted this morning. And I just agree with Mark's word, with Mark's heart, that this place will be known as a Jesus nest, that this people, this body will be known as a Jesus nest in this region, in this county, and for the nations of the earth. God has such a deep love for us. We sang it this morning. He's got such a deep love for us that he sent his son. And we know his son. We know his name. His name is Jesus, and he is worthy, and he is beloved son. He is the son of God. We know him, but there are people dying daily. There are people outside of America, in our county, in our midst, our neighbors and our friends who do not know him. But we know him, and he's a deep love for that everyone will know his son. But God so loved the world that he gave his son, that Jesus came, because he loves the world. And my cry and my desire, what I believe the Lord's already birthed within us this morning and this throughout this week, is that we have a heart, and we also, together, unified with one heart and one mind and one accord, have the same heart and a cry to say, Jesus, we want your name made famous across the world. We want your name made famous in our hearts, in this region, in our county. We love you, Lord, and we want to be here with hands opened, aligned with heaven, and saying, God, use us. This isn't just one week. I believe, Lord, has truly touched hearts, that this isn't just be a one-week meeting every year that we have, but it will literally and really go out from this place to our neighbors and to our workplaces, and we will share the love of God, because he's got a deep love, and he's got a desire and a one heart groan and cry in his heart that none shall perish. We walk by people daily who need to know the love of God. They are crying out, and they are lost. They are crying out, and they are lost, and they do not know. But we have the hope and the life within us, within our hearts, and it is beaming, it is shining, it is a joy. And I believe and I know the Lord has marked hearts this week. He has marked hearts this week that we will go out, we will share the gospel. We are blessed to be a blessing to the nations. The Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing to the nations. We are his family, we are his descendants. We are blessed to be a blessing to everywhere we go. It's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the earth and share the good news. Share the good news of Jesus. And I believe We've heard the good news. We know it. It's in our hearts. It's been repeated throughout all our years. And we can go and share the good news because people need to know. People need to know how deep the Father's love is towards us. We need to know. I need to know. We need to know a greater revelation of His love towards us so that it's unto sharing the good news of Jesus. Unto sharing the good news of Jesus. He's worthy of it. He desires it. He loves when His name is proclaimed. And His name was proclaimed this week, and I believe the Lord is doing such a beautiful thing in our hearts, and it's only going to get better. It's only going to get greater. It's going to build up within us. It's going to bubble up within us. It's going to be a spring. It's going to be a well, a spring out of us, and it's just going to overflow. The joy, the love, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to overflow from this place. And that weeks and days and months after this, we're going to have testimonies and stories of God's faithfulness that began here, 2021 camp meeting. It began in this place. It began in the fellowship and the thanksgiving and the sharing of stories and the deep fellowship that we see in Acts. It has begun here, and we're going to hear stories and testimonies of the Lord's faithfulness and His goodness, of Him saying, the love of God reached, the love of God met my neighbor, it met my work, it met my coworker, my employer. We're going to hear stories, and God's going to get all the glory. And there's going to be a sound, there's going to be a rumble, there's going to be a song coming out of the ends of the earth in Isaiah. Glory to the righteous one. Glory to the righteous one. Let me transition now. Many of you guys know me. My name is Bradley. I go to Ephraim United Zion. I've been a missionary with United Zion for 4 years now. 2017, I did my DTS, Discipleship Training School, with Youth of the Mission, and I've been with YM ever since. It's been a dream of my heart to be a missionary ever since I was a little boy. And I was kind of want to bring you up to speed, kind of share a timeline of where the Lord has brought me and where my next steps are. Many of you know I just was in Cambodia for the past 9 months. That was a glorious season and a blessed season. I just want to share a timeline of what the Lord has brought me through within my missions career, and then kind of open the scriptures and get an impartation from the Lord to go out even more. Because the Lord wants us to go out. He wants us to be a blessing. As a young boy, 5 years old, I went to Guatemala for my first time. Been to Guatemala 11 times, and it was when I was 5 years old, the Lord gripped my heart and brought up to attention in my spirit that, Bradley, you could do this for the rest of your life. A five-year-old boy in Guatemala, playing with kids in orphanages, painting houses, serving people, and it struck my heart. I'm like, Lord, this is amazing. It was such a joy. I was a little kid, so I was playing with other little kids that didn't know my language, so there was fun in that, and I was like, God, this is amazing. And fast-forwarding, when I was getting older, I was about 10 or 12 years old, where I believe the Lord really solidified. When I was 10 or 12 years old, many of you guys here were off in YM and come back, and we're sharing stories and testimonies of what the Lord was doing on outreaches, and I was hearing these amazing stories of where the love of God was reaching nations and reaching people's hearts, and people were getting transformed, and it just reawakened and erupted in my spirit and kind of solidified in my heart at 10 to 12 years old, a boy, God, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a YWAMer. I want to do this for the rest of my life. It is a joy to serve you. It is an honor and a privilege. And I just want to say thank you, United Zion. Thank you for your hearts for missions. Thank you for your hearts for committing to saying, Lord, your heart is for the nations. Your heart is for my neighbors. And we are a church that is committed, a people that is committed. So thank you. Because it was because of that heart desire and pursuit and pillar of our church. It birthed in me a call for missions. It birthed in me a cry to say, God, I want to do the same things there, which I saw other people that were older than me do in the stories of it. I want to have those stories, not for anyone to get famous or glorious, but for you, Jesus. I want those stories for you as well, Lord. It's amazing. I just want to say thank you, United Zion. is it a beautiful thing? And I believe the Lord is pleased and grateful, but I also believe the Lord is inviting us and saying, once again, come after my heart. There is many and many more people that the Lord wants to raise up to be the sent ones, to be the ones with a burning fire and desire, and saying, God, we want to see the nations go, a burning fire and desire for people to get set on fire, to see the love of God, to see Jesus, the man who loves them, and come into saving knowledge of knowing that there's a God who loves them. So thank you. So thank you, United Zion. 10 or 12 years old, I was struck with the love and saying, God, I'm going to be a Wylamer. So I set my heart to that. Always when I share, I said, if I could have skipped middle school or high school to join Wylam, to join missions, I would have in a heartbeat. It was just my heart's desire. I said, I cannot wait to graduate high school. I could not wait because I knew the Lord called me and set me apart to say, Bradley, you're going to the nations. So in 2017, I set out to do my DTS in North Carolina, YWAM Charlotte. Many of you know that. Kevin Showalter was also there for many years. Aaron Hackman went there as well. 2017, did my DTS, went my first time to Cambodia. At a young age, around 10 or 12 years old, Kevin Showalter came back to PA and was sharing about Cambodia. And I was there, I was listening, and I said, God, I want to go to Cambodia. I want to go to Cambodia as well. 2017, I went to Cambodia, was there, experienced Cambodia along with Aaron Hackman. That was a beautiful trip, my first time there, overseas in Southeast Asia. It was beautiful, and I loved it. Fast forwarding, momentum stirring in my heart, and it was there when I was in my DTS, and I said, yep, I'm a long-termer, I'm ready to go. This is my heart's desire. I said, God, I want to be a sent one. I want to be a messenger of reconciliation. I want to have in my heart the message of the gospel, to preach the gospel to the nations and say, there's a God out there who sees you, who loves you, and wants you to know him, and wants you to come into fruition of who he is and have a revelation of who he is. It was in 2017, 2018, 2019, still in Wyoming, and I went to different schools, went to Kona, Hawaii. Many of you know in the past season, during COVID 2020, I went to Hawaii, Kona. I was doing a 9-month Bible school. But because of COVID happened, that Bible school and that season in Kona was cut short 3 months, and I had to come home. And it was over the summer in 2019, 2020. And I was seeking the Lord and saying, God, what's my next step? I believe you have a call and a groan in my spirit to go to Cambodia, to do YWAM, to live long-term in Cambodia for a season. The call was there. It was just the timing and the commissioning. But because of COVID over the summer of 2020, I was seeking the Lord and praying, and I knew there was a Bible school in Cambodia. And while I was in Kona, Hawaii, there was a Bible school that I was already done and I already did, and the Lord really erupted in my heart a cry and a desire for the Word of God to be a foundation for my life and a pillar for my life. Of course, I knew I was called long-term already into missions, and I said, God, I want to do another Bible school to really solidify and have a lifelong foundation rooted in the Word of God so that when I go to other nations or when I see people, I can be able to share the good news and have it in my heart, a burning desire, so I'll be able to share it with you and be confident and assured of what I'm saying is the Word of God and it is truth. So I knew in Cambodia, there was a Bible school called School of Biblical Studies. Many of you know Katrina Martin, she did a School of Biblical Studies in Montana. It was the most academic, demanding, and intense school that I've ever been a part of. 50 to 60 hours a week, just straight Bible text, no extra curriculum, no nothing, but just straight, just in the Word of God. But it was such a joy. When you are in an incubator, kind of like this week, we were in an incubator of just getting fresh revelation from the Lord, feeding off on each other. It was like that, and we were just filled with joy. I was filled with joy in Cambodia in an incubator season, 9 months, reading the Bible 5 times in 9 months, digging into the Word of God and it coming alive in my heart. It was such a blessed season. So I've been in Wyoming now for 4 years, and in my 4-year journey, I've been to Cambodia 4 times. I've been to the Philippines 1 time, and I've been to Thailand once as well, and I've been to Guatemala 11 times, and I've been to Haiti once. But it was in my time in Cambodia this past season for 9 months where again, the Lord was gripping my heart for the Word of God to be solidified, to teach and to preach and to know the Word of God, to truly know His character and His nature. The real reason was because I want to know the Lord. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the Gospels, the man of God, the Son of God, the center of our universe, the center of our world, and who we are as Christians and believers. I want to know Jesus. I want to know His heart, His character, and His nature. And it was such a blessed season. But not only was it a blessed season because I was in the Word of God, but it was a blessed season because I was able to fulfill a dream and a lifelong call, I believe, was to serve overseas in Southeast Asia for a season in Cambodia. And it was beautiful and it was wonderful. Cambodia is a strictly Buddhist nation. 98%, 99% of the nation is Buddhist, and there is less than 1% Christianity. They say there's Catholic, there's Mormon, there's Jehovah Witnesses in the midst of Christianity, so even less than 1% is Christianity in the nation of Cambodia, and they desperately need to know and hear the name of Jesus and to say that there is a God who loves them, there's a God who sees them and knows them and wants them to know them. A Buddhist nation, they have many spirits, they worship many spirits and idols and shrines and pagodas, and they give offerings and they live out a life of karma and wanting to know whether they are doing well, and it's all works-based mentality. Works-based to know that then when they die, they will resurrect into another human being and not into an ant. It is contrary to a biblical worldview, and it's a Buddhist nation, and they desperately need to know Jesus. They desperately need to know that their eternal salvation is not based on their works, but is based on Christ and Christ alone, and Christ crucified. So I was there in Cambodia, and the Lord there gripped my heart once again and broke my heart for the lost. I saw poverty like I've never seen poverty. Of course, I've been around the world a little bit, different places, but in this past season in Cambodia, my fourth time there, I've seen poverty like I've never seen it before. People who are just wilting away, malnourished families and children, and the Lord just gripped my heart saying they need to know Jesus. They need to know the Word of God. They need to know Deuteronomy. They need to know the Gospels. They need to know salvation so they have a biblical worldview so they can develop and understand that Jesus loves them, that Jesus desires them to develop and have a biblical worldview so that when they die, they don't have to worry that they're going to resurrect into an ant that just gets squashed by my foot. There's no value of life really there as well. They don't understand that when we die, we're going to go to see heaven and there'll be a joy with the Lord. And that's their hope. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's our assurance. And they need to know. And it was a blessed season, really was, in my heart, to be able to live among people, to get close to my culture and eat the food and get really close to people. But it was also, the Lord spoke to me when I was there. I was studying the Bible deeply with why I'm studying the Bible, but there was a verse that came to mind out of James 1:26 and 1:27. Many of us know it. It's about what pure religion is in the sight of God. So I want to read it out because this is the struggle. This is the battle. And when people go to seminary schools, when people say they want to know the Lord, they get dedicated and going and studying the Word, but they miss the heart of God. They miss the reason why we study the Word. They miss the reason why God desires us to have relationships so people may know Him and not it just be a greenhouse that we just get built up and then it doesn't go anywhere. Like I said earlier, we are blessed and as Abraham's sons and descendants, we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to the nations and go ye therefore into all the nations and share the good news of Jesus. So in James 1:26-27, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. But religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Unstained from the world, orphans and widows in their affliction. That's the desire of the Lord's heart. When, as a Bible student, as someone studying the Word of God, when I was in Cambodia there, I was like, God, I want to walk out in the fruit of the Spirit. I want to walk out in the Word of James. I want to walk out and to care and share the gospel and to share the good news. So I have a video that I want to share. It's about a 9-minute video, a timeline of my entire time in Cambodia. And I just want to say, that it was such a blessed season, and I'm just so grateful and thankful for a church body and a people that pray for the nations, that pray for our missionaries, that believe the word of God and know and understand that it's God's desire and heart to go into the nations. So thank you. It was such a blessed time in Cambodia. Your prayers, your financial support, your partnership was just a thing that made my time in Cambodia easier and better to navigate. 50, 60 hours straight reading Bible and text can be heavy and weighing down. You can talk to Katrina, she's probably got stories. It's intense. But it made my heart more light and a joy knowing that I have a church body and people back in America that are praying for me and contending with me and standing with me and championing me and partnering with me. So I want to share this video. Cambodia is a beautiful nation. I know that the more I speak, the story about stories, it's just easier to see a video and pictures of understanding of my time in Cambodia. Like I said, Cambodia is a Buddhist nation, but when you go to villages and house to house, they have no grid for Jesus. No grid whatsoever. Here in America, you say God, you say Jesus. People now have a fairly new or somewhat concept of who Jesus is or who God is. But when you go there and you share about Jesus or the love of God, they have no understanding and no grid. So it's a beautiful time to go house to house, village to village. They welcome you in. It's village life. It's a warm culture climate. It's really laid back. It's not as American driven as like dut, dut, dut. So it's just that different culture aspect. But when you go house to house, village to village, it was a beautiful thing that you just share Genesis to Revelation. You share the whole story of humanity to them, and you say that Jesus wants you to know that he loves you, and he wants you to know him, and that he wants to be Lord over your life. They have many spirits and many lords, but in there, and sharing their biblical worldview, sharing Jesus, you're telling them that Jesus loves you and he sees you, but he wants you to be Lord of your life. No good for Jesus, no, none whatsoever. But there's a hunger and a desire to know truth. They do not know what they're doing, and there's a hunger and a desire to know truth. But how will they know truth unless someone goes? And how will they know unless someone preaches the word of God? And how will they hear unless they hear someone preaching? Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing. So Weston, if you like, you can share the video, and then I'll come back up and share just two testimonies of where the Lord really just struck my heart for the lost. And took out everyone who was educated and smart and had glasses or any person that was a father figure. So it would be my parents' generation that is non-existent. The majority of Cambodia population is 35 and under. So the reason why the gospel there is so prevalent because they lost their identity. They don't know who they are there in Cambodia. But it's just a beautiful testimony that the Lord has still amazing work and has a heart for that nation. He's not forgotten them. Cambodia is on the heart of God. He's got a heart for that nation. And my best friend there, he was 40 years old. He is a worship leader. He's been a missionary with YWAM for over a decade, and he was serving in the Philippines with YWAM for over 7 years. He's the second missionary that was ever sent out of the nation of Cambodia as a missionary with YWAM to go overseas to another country that's not his own to say Jesus loves you, because he's first received it from the Father himself. He was my best friend. Him and I and his family, we got really close. The children and I were super close. I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with that family, rice every day, and it was just such a beautiful time of just getting really embedded in the culture and understanding their worldview and how they view the world and their lens in which they see their own people. They have a desire and a heart to see that their own nation needs to know Jesus. My best friend, his name is Mech. He was a worship leader, like I said. He's in his 40 years old, but he was a worship leader, and I believe, to my own biased opinion, he was the best worship leader, anointed worship leader that I've ever heard, ever. As soon as he strums the guitar, it's just like a third heaven releases, and it's angels come, and it's an angelic thing. It's just such a beautiful thing, because they don't have a lot like we have in America. They just have a little bit, but they have a heart for God, and they have a heart for their own people to see the nation of Cambodia, and from Cambodia, see Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and Thailand, communist nations in some sense, to go see the nation of to see their nation transformed by the love of God. It was a beautiful time in Cambodia. There's two testimonies and stories that I want to share that the Lord really just gripped my heart, and testimonies of the Lord's faithfulness and his love towards the people. In the video, there was one family the first family that I was able to meet outside of the YWAM base that I was going and sharing the gospel with. It was a family with a mom and four children. The mom was severely malnourished, and the children were malnourished. In one of the photos in the video, there's a mom and her four-year-old kid. The four-year-old kid, a 2 or 4 years old kid, didn't look like a 2-year-old, 4-year-old kid. It looked like an infant. It looked like a baby. Kid was severely malnourished. She was the size of as an infant because he was malnourished. But the beautiful thing was, every time I went to this family, I was able to give them food. I was able to give them a 50-kilo bag of rice and fish to feed them and to share the gospel with them. It was such a sad moment because the mom was, you could see it in her eyes. She was lost. She was hopeless. She did not know what to do. She had no one to provide for her. She had no means. In reality, the person that she was staying with wasn't family, but it was a bunch of men. So in reality, she was being abused and raped by this person that took her in. She had these four children that were probably not even her own, to each person to a different father in some sense. It was really sad and depressing, but I was able to share the love of God and go back. 3 times I was able to go back to this family with their mounted church, and I was able to feed them and share the gospel and tell them that Jesus sees you and that Jesus loves you and he wants you to know him. Share the gospel many times with them, but because of the situation with this woman in the family, it wasn't able to compute. She wasn't really all there as well. She was just in a desperate, hopeless situation. But it was because of walking out in James 1, 26 and 27, seeing the widows, seeing the stranger, seeing the fatherless and the afflicted, and loving them in the best way that I know how to love of someone in practical ways, it was able to share the gospel with this family. I love to say a testimony and say that she gave her life to the Lord and she was like, I'm all in for the Lord. The sad reality was that she was not. Just to turn from, and if you have family in Cambodia, because it's a Buddhist nation, they are really heavenly, honoring a family culture, and they honor families, and they honor their traditions and the way of life. To say that they will turn and follow Jesus will be complete shame and dishonor and disgrace from family. And when you are left already hopeless and sad, if she says she believes in Jesus and she leaves Buddhism and practices that way, she'll be even worse than she was already. So to say that I'm going to become a Christian, I'm going to follow the Lord, is a very high cost. Here in America, we have a cost of following the Lord in some sense, but not to the degree in which people outside of America in a developing nation that have other worldviews, whether it be Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, animism, there's different worldviews out there that the cost of saying yes to the Lord will be a way greater loss than it would be saying yes to Jesus here in America. Just the reality of it. So she didn't give her life to the Lord, but it was just a means of showing how the Lord loves them and sees them and cares for them. And she was just one story of many stories, each corner, each block of family, of that there's malnourished, there's impoverished people, and they need to know that Jesus loves them. They need to know there's a God that sees them. Every time I went to a family, I made sure I preached the gospel, and I made sure to tell them that this wasn't YWAM, this wasn't me, this wasn't our group sharing this food with them. It was Jesus bringing them food. It was Jesus seeing them and knowing their situation, and he says, and he's wanting to know you, to them, that he loves them, and that he sees them, and he knows the situation. Another story that really struck my heart, this family wasn't as malnourished, but they needed food, they were living in lack. There was a grandma and a granddad and a granddaughter. The grandma had some understanding and an idea of who Jesus was. She knew the Lord and to whatever degree that looked like, but they needed food. And she would walk out daily on the streets praying and asking, like, Lord, I need food for my family. I need food for my granddaughter. But the sad part was that the granddad that was going to provide for the family in some sense was paralytic. He was paralyzed from the left side. For 11 years, he was bedridden. He could not get up. And when I saw this family, I was able to provide for them, give them food and share the gospel with them, I was completely distraught and upset and sad. I said, God, this cannot be. 11 years bedridden and did not get up because he was paralyzed from his top of his head to the bottom on his left side. And he was also mute. The grandma knew of Jesus, knew some familiarity of who Jesus was, but the grandfather did not know Jesus. And there was idols and there were shrines and there was temple houses in their house that they would worship, or the grandfather would worship to whatever degree he was able to give himself over to that. But the grandma knew of the Lord in some way. So I was able to share the gospel with them, and right out of Romans 10, I said, you got to make him Lord. If you're going to make Jesus Lord of your life, the shrines and the idols got to be stripped away. You cannot have it in your house. He's either Lord of your life, or he's Lord not of your life whatsoever. So I went back a second time to their family. When I went back, all the idols, all the shrines were completely wiped out of the house. And I was like, praise the Lord, she's getting it, she's understanding. Able to share the gospel again, give them an update about what the Lord is doing, talking about the scriptures and who Jesus is, the character and nature of God. Able to give them food and provide for them. But the Lord struck my heart and said, Bradley, you got to be able to provide for this granddad. He's got to be able to sit up and at least go outside of his house. He's living in his own feces, and it's just a sickening, sad situation. And it really takes me back to the scriptures of the story of Jesus, as when Jesus walks on the earth, he's cleansing lepers. He didn't care about sicknesses, but he was bringing a means and healing people left and right wherever he went. The Lord struck my heart with that story of Jesus cleansing a leper, and I said, God, I got to do something. And there's a generous, grateful family in Ephraim United Zion Church that was able to give me some money to go look and find a wheelchair. The healthcare situation in Cambodia, unlike America, is completely different. They don't have hospitals and the means of medication that we do here in America. America's a first world nation, of course. Cambodia is a developing third world nation. They don't have the means that we have here in America. But by the grace of the Lord, I was able to find a wheelchair that was able to recline back and up. You saw in the video that I was able to recline so he'd be able to sit up and lay down so you could be able to push him because he's just paralyzed. He has to be able to lay down. So the third time I go back to that family, I share the gospel, I give them food. I come with the wheelchair. And as soon as I come with the wheelchair, the grandma looks at me with big eyes in her eyes. And she says, in Khmer, they're not English, of course, in Khmer. She's like, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Wake up to her husband. Jesus is here. He's provided a wheelchair for you. And in that, it was just the most beautiful thing, is like knowing that this is what Jesus does. This is what he does. He provides spiritually and physically for people's needs, but practically as well. And he shares the love of God practically through meeting people's needs. And the Lord just struck my heart and said, Bradley, well done. This is what we need to do. This is what it means to be a Christian, is to care for the widows, the fatherless, the strangers, the orphans. And I was able to provide for him a wheelchair. But because he was disabled and he was paralyzed, the grandma asked me, she was like, well, the uncle of the house won't be able to come back here until later to put him in this wheelchair. I said, would you want to put him in a wheelchair? And I looked at her and I said, yeah, sure, I'll be able to put him in a wheelchair. Of course, he was paralyzed. He was living in his own feces. It was probably the most disgusting thing I've ever done in my life. But I picked up a naked man and I put him on a wheelchair. But it was the most satisfying thing, knowing that I was being the hands and feet of Jesus and I was walking out in the scripture of Jesus cleansing a leper. I like to say that this man gave his life to the Lord as well, but he did not. He was also mute. I believe he was mute just because of the demonic principalities and the things that he's given himself over to. Like I said, again, the mom had belief in Jesus, but the granddad did not. But it was such a beautiful moment to see a picture of heaven coming to earth and saying, Lord, what can we do? I got five loaves and two fish. God, what can we do? And I was able to provide for this family, and it was such a beautiful thing. The whole time in Cambodia I was there, the Lord was just striking my heart and marking my heart to have a greater heart level and appreciation and depth of knowing the Father's love. So it's unto blessing the nation. So it's unto blessing families. God's heart is for the families. God's heart is for the individual, for them to see the love of God. And I believe this morning God is wanting to activate us once again, this church and this body, to love people in the way that Jesus loved people, to walk out in the ways that Jesus walked out, to go to our neighbors, to get gripped and called for missions, whether it be to your workplace, to your employer, or to the nations, to another state. God is wanting to grip us and awaken us to see the need, that there is a need, but we are the solution. There is a need, but we are the answer. To the cry that God desires that none shall perish, but we are the answer. We have a message in our heart, a message of reconciliation and hope and love and joy for the nations. It was a beautiful thing, and my time in Cambodia was well spent, and my heart is dearly still attached to the nation of Cambodia, and I cannot wait until the Lord will one day bring me back to that nation once again. So I just want to say thank you, United Zion. Cambodia for the last 9 months was amazing. I've been back now in America for just a month. July 4th has been a month since I came back into America last month. I just want to say thank you there. My time in Cambodia was beautiful and it touched my heart. And I believe and I'm expecting and knowing that the Lord is touching your heart of hearing the stories and seeing the video, of just seeing the need around us. Seeing the need around us, knowing that we have the answer. We have Jesus on the inside of us, but sometimes in my culture, I'm the same way, that we get quiet or shy. We're like, oh, we're going to make fun of, but it's like, no, Who cares? They need to know the Lord Jesus because their lives are on the line. Their eternal destination is on the line, and we may not be able to see them once again. I made it a point to know in Khmer, pray through Sonline Net, Jesus loves you. So that everywhere I go, I can at least say Jesus loves you. I can't speak the language if I didn't have a translator with me. Because they need to know. They need to know that I am here. I traveled how many miles away, thousands of miles away, to tell them that Jesus loves you, that he cares for you, and that he sees you. As in, it's our mandate, it's our call. We are blessed here in America to be a blessing to the ends of the earth. To be a blessing to share the love of God to the ends of the earth. It is a joy, it is a gift, and it is a blessing. Like I said, my time in Cambodia was well spent. And now many of you know, I just want to give an update now with my next steps here. We saw it yesterday. I was here Saturday. I had a booth, but YWAM Lancaster is here in the land. We've seen it. We know it's on 322 in Ephrata, YWAM Lancaster. It's been literally 40 years in the making. Many of you guys know the Abundant Life Living, River of Life, the prayer meetings and understandings, like when is YWAM Lancaster going to happen? Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be it? But it was God's timing and commissioning that now was the time that YWAM Lancaster, Lancaster County, is rooted in missions. It's got a heart for missions. I believe per capita, I don't know the updated statistic, but we believe per capita that Lancaster County sends out the most missionaries all around the world in the nation of America. Everywhere you go, everywhere I've gone, I met someone that was from Lancaster County. You go anywhere around the world, you see someone that traces the roots back to Lancaster County, because this nation and this county and this state and this province is convicted and connected and yoked to the great mandate of knowing that we need to go into the nations to share the love of Christ. It's Lancaster County. It's our heritage. It's our inheritance. I just want to say, United Zion, we have an inheritance in Cambodia. This congregation, this people, has an inheritance in South America, in Africa, and the people that were brought into salvation through all the missionaries that are scattered throughout here in this building. I don't know how many there are, but there's many. I'm looking. I've seen that we've served in many places around the world. But United Zion has an inheritance in the name of Christ. In the Book of Remembrance, we have an inheritance because we have been sold out to say, God, we're going to the nations. But I believe God is raising up a remnant and a pocket and another heart crying, groaning, saying, there's many families and there's many individuals that need to go out as well, that I'm not done with United Zion. It's just the beginning. It's just a stirring. This whole week was a stirring and a calling, and God's placing things in our hearts and dreams. Well, it might not be going to the nations, but it's serving practically where we are at, just to say yes and just to go. Just to say yes and just to go. So YWAM Lancaster here is in the land. This fall, I'll be staffing full-time with YWAM Lancaster. I've been with YWAM Lancaster now for 2 years in the pioneering process. It's there in 322. But I'll be committing to joining staff with YWAM Lancaster. I don't know how long the commitment will be, but I'm committed to pioneering with YWAM Lancaster. I'll be staffing a Bible school this fall. Of course, I just did SBS and two Bible schools with YWAM, so now I'm kind of the man to do the Bible school. So I'm doing the Bible school this fall, and I'm grateful for that as well. But I'll be with YWAM Lancaster until YWAM Lancaster finds a location that we want to serve overseas and launch long-term. Many of you guys know my heart is still overseas. I want to be overseas. I want to be living among unreached people groups who do not know the Lord, who do not know the name of Jesus. And it's my privilege and honor to serve with YWAM Lancaster and to serve in the county. I'm expectant and excited for what the Lord is doing among the youth in this region, in this county, the youth among our church. It's just amazing hearing the stories and the stirring and the hunger and the thirst that is coming out and bubbling up, and I'm excited and expectant for what the Lord will be doing in this region, in this county, this year and the years to come. It's a move of God. It's a wave of God. There's many prophetic words that we have heard and knowing that the Lord is awakening a stirring and a cry, a heart awakening and revival, stirring in a heart saying, God, you are not done with United Zion. You are not done with the youth in Lancaster County. You are not done with the youth in America, to turn America back to God. It is a beautiful thing. So just, I want to make it clear that I will be joining staff with YWAM Lancaster, full-time still with YWAM, heavily involved with YWAM, heavily involved with United Zion. My heart is so towards the youth of America, so towards the youth of my generation, and saying, God, we want to go after you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have time. I just want to I want to open up the Word of God and look at a beautiful passage we all know out of Matthew 9. Matthew 9, we see a whole continuation. You guys may turn there, Matthew 9:35. In Matthew 9, we see a whole continuation of Jesus going to his hometown, going from town to village in his own place and moving, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, doing the work of the kingdom out of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is just a beautiful picture where I believe the Lord is taking us in this next year, taking the body of Christ globally into where he wants to see us walking out in the apostolic prophetic picture of what heaven's going to look like on the earth. It's in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 35. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease, every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Beloved, there are sheep without a shepherd here in our own midst, here in our county, and we need to be the shepherd. We have the shepherd within us, and we need to be able to preach and declare and say that there is a shepherd that loves you and desires for you to know him. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion for them. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" The harvest is ripe. It is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'm looking across and I see many, many laborers. Each one of us are a laborer for the harvest. And God is saying the laborers are few. The laborers are few. But who will go? Who will go? How beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news. Who will go? The laborers are few. Jesus, in this scene, does a beautiful prophetic picture and act of what we are living in our day and midst. In Matthew 9, he's going around, he's sharing the gospel, he's cleansing lepers, but it's in the midst of darkness. We are the light, and it's in the midst of darkness. We see all around us. I shared it, me and Aaron shared it on Friday, but in the midst of darkness, the Lord is saying, harvest is ripe. We see it. There's a secular, humanistic, new age worldview rising up, animism rising up in the world. CNN, Fox News, everyone's battling against left or right, whatever it is. There's a new wave in ideology and false ideology coming against the kingdom of God, and it is dark and it is hard, but yet in the midst of that, Jesus sees it and he says, "Oh, the harvest is ripe though, guys. The harvest is ripe. It is hard. It is dark, but in the midst of it," he says, "the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few." He's calling forth laborers in this hour and he's saying, "See it. See it. The harvest is ripe. Don't you see it? It looks dark. Yes, it might be and it is, but it is ripe for the picking. They do not know." And God is saying forth, "Where are the laborers? Where are the laborers? The harvest is ripe and the laborers are few." And I believe the Lord is seeking lovesick worshipers with the first and greatest commandment on their hearts who are willing to go and say, "God, I will be the messenger. I will be a laborer for your good news." Why do I say the first and greatest commandment? Because I believe in right alignment for the first and greatest commandment, which is that we will love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Always goes back to wholehearted Christianity, giving our lives for the cause, giving our lives to the call of Christ. The first and greatest commandment, once we rightly see that we are loved by God and that God loves us with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we align that rightly, it is unto overflowing and saying, "God, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. I'm signing up to be a laborer because the love of God has come inside me. It has convicted my heart and it has urged me and it has grown me, and I am possessed by it that I must go. I must go." God is raising and seeking and looking in the 11th hour for lovesick worshipers, for his bride to go out in partnership with the bridegroom. Us as the bride, Jesus Christ as the bridegroom, in partnership to go out and say, "God, I will be a sent one. I will be a messenger. I will be called and I will seek the call and I will understand the call and I will go." The Lord is raising up in this hour lovesick worshipers as laborers to go forth. As the worship team, you may come back up, Aaron. You guys may all rise. United Zion Church, I believe, I know, and I'm expectant that the Lord is not done in our midst. There's an urgency in our heart. Aaron said it Friday night. There's an urgency in the heart of God. We are living in the church's finest hour. We have more resources than we know what to do with. We are living in the church's finest hour as messengers and as laborers for the gospel. The harvest is ripe. The hardest and darkest does not exist in the kingdom or the vocabulary of Jesus. I am called to go to the hardest and darkest. We are all called to go to the hardest and darkest and be a laborer for the gospel. So the question is in our hearts, where is God calling you? Many of us maybe not be able to go. We have families, or I know many families own missions, but many of us are maybe not called to go overseas or go give their lives into the Middle East or whatever it looks like. But I believe each and every one of us has a call and a mandate from the Lord. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, has a mandate and a call from the Lord to go. To go, whether it be to their neighbors, to their coworkers, to the workplace, to the seven spheres of society, or maybe God's calling you to go overseas in missions. But I believe there's a heart cry out of this entire week. There's a heart cry saying, what are you going to do this week? What are we going to finish with? What are we going to end with? Knowing that this was an incubator to go out to be a blessing. It was an incubator. And I don't believe, and I have an expectation and desire and knowing in my heart that we are going to go out as United Zion. We're going to go out and we're signing up. We're saying yes, and we're going to be laborers. We're signing up, and we're going to be yes, and we're going to be laborers. God is jealous for this to happen because he desires that none shall perish. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say come. The Holy Spirit is jealous for this. All creation is groaning for this. To partner with the Holy Spirit for God's dreams, God's purposes. And as Psalms 2, that Jesus Christ may receive the nations as an inheritance. Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. That is Jesus Christ's inheritance and his reward. And we are to partner with the Holy Spirit and to see that be accomplished on the earth. Because it is for his name, for his glory, for his plans and his dreams to see released on the face of the earth. But Jesus Christ desires to do it in partnership with his beloved. That's why he sent his son, so that we may have right relationship with him and to know him, so that then we may partner with him to see that other people may become into the kingdom of God. Because he desires that none shall perish. So in this time, as Aaron leads us into another song, we want to have our hearts open and postured to hear once again the voice of the Lord and to obey. To be activated and to obey and say, Lord, I believe you're saying this to me. Many of you guys are supposed to go back to your workplaces, but I believe there's many in here as well, individuals and families that God is marking on the heart to say, Lord, I will go. I will go to the nations. I will go and share your good news and be a representative of the kingdom as a forerunner, as a torchbearer, as a trumpet blaster and saying, preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come back on the earth, God. I will prepare the place for you to come. I believe the Lord is saying this and speaking this out. Because there's a sweet smelling aroma and incense coming from the earth to the throne room of God. And there are people who are unrighteous that will be righteous. And Jesus Christ will hear a sound. He will hear a sound from every tribe, every tongue, every village, every ethnicity group. He will hear a sound, a song coming from the earth, declaring to who he is, glory to the righteous one. Glory to the righteous one, because you are worthy. You are worthy.
There's no words for these songs. I encourage you to just dive in with the Lord. Sing along if you feel the desire. Don't if you don't. And embrace what the Lord is speaking to you in this moment. Use me for your glory, oh. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory, till every soul is one. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory, till every soul is one. And Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory,
not walked in the good things that God has ordained for you, and I believe the Lord is saying the path is still here. The path that he's called you to walk it's still here, and he's waiting for you to come. You haven't blown it beyond hope. God wants to redeem lost time. He wants to restore things that have been lost from us, that the enemy has stolen, and some things that we've even given away on our own will. But God is calling you back to that path. He's calling you back to the good things that he's ordained for you, the good works that he's ordained for you. And I would encourage you to not ignore that. Don't ignore his voice. Don't ignore his offer. Anytime that the Lord is offering something, we take it. We take it with thankful hearts. I know that God has been speaking here to us this morning, and I would just encourage you, don't walk out and try to forget or try to hide or whatever what God's been doing. Deal with it now. If you miss lunch, who cares? I mean, really, deal with it now. Deal with what God is speaking and what he's impressing on you. After we're finished here, if you'd like someone to pray with you, just hang around. Come on up front here, and we'd be glad to just pray with you and pray through things if God's speaking something, or even if you just know God has called me. God has called me to this or to that or whatever, and you just want to proclaim it. You just want to share it with somebody and say, this is what God's saying, and I'm going to speak it out. I'm going to speak it out. I'm going to let it out. Let the sound go out and proclaim it to my family, to the world, to the enemy. I'm coming. I'm coming. There's power in that sound of your voice speaking these things out. Before we finish here, I'd like to have us just have a time of prayer for some of our missionaries that are here. Oh, by the way, there's pictures up on the board up here of all the United Zion supported missionaries and some who will be very soon. We have some new ones coming on. So there's pictures up here, and there's also a basket if you'd like to give this morning. It all goes towards United Zion World Missions. You can leave an offering up here if you want to. If you want to write out a check, just make it out to United Zion World Missions. That'd be great. We appreciate it. But we have a number of our missionaries here, and some who are just kind of getting started. And I'd also like, if they're not here, a representative for each missionary, a parent or parents, someone who's close to them. We're going to break up into eight. There's eight of them. We're going to just kind of split up and end our time praying for those that we're sending out or who've been sent out. Whether you know them or not, pray for them. We're all one flock. We're all one flock. We're in this together under one shepherd who's leading us. So we can serve together, even if we're not close, even if we don't know the person, whatever. So I think I'd like to just kind of spread out. So if you're here and I say your name, just kind of go where I'm pointing. And if you're not here, a close representative would be great. So Bradley, maybe you can just come up here in the corner and we'll have some people gather around you. Halfway back on that side, is Wilna here? She's here? Yes. Oh, there she is. Awesome. If you could go like sort of in the middle there along the wall, that would be great. If you want to introduce yourself a little bit and say who you are to the people that are praying for you, that'd be great. But Wilna's serving with YWAM as well, so awesome. Adrian, are you in here somewhere? There he is. If you want to maybe go to the back corner over there, that'd be sweet. Mauricio is right there. Maybe you can come up in the front here. Yeah, just come on up here. Mauricio and his wife, who's not here, are serving in South America. If we have a representative for Stephanie, yes, Susan, maybe like over there near Rick against the wall, if you could just stand over there somewhere. Salma is not here. She's over in England. But yes, Larry, Dad, is back there in the corner. So if you want to pray for Salma. And those of you who are representing, just receive the prayers and pass them on. I don't know how all that stuff works, but I know God does it. I know He does it. You can receive the prayers and pass them on to your daughter. Yeah, God does those things. Florencia is not here. She's also in England. So maybe Chuck and Mary, would you receive for her? Maybe like in the back, in the middle. And then Jared and Crystal are also not here. But if Jay and Mim here, or any of Jared's family here? Okay, who wants to take it for him? Who wants to receive it? Somebody put your hand up. Who knows Jared and Crystal? Anybody? Somebody's back there? Come on up, Melody. Right in the center between the two sections here. If you want to pray for Jared and Crystal, Melody's going to receive that and pass it on. I don't think I missed anyone. I think that's it. So so to end here, again, if you'd like to have just a personal time up front here praying, please do. Come talk to us. We pray with you, you know, whatever. If not, go and grab one of these people. Pray with them. Bless them. Send them out. Send them out. They're going, you know, different places. Send them out with our blessing. They're part of us. And we want to bless them and send them off. So we'll just kind of split up and gather wherever you want to go. Pray for them. And when you're done, you're free to leave. There's a meal up in the gym immediately following the service here. So you're all welcome to that. Yeah, thanks for spending some time here with us. We appreciate it.